Welcome to the Motivate Me Book Club. We read and challenge books to motivate us. Follow along as we uncover what may or may not work from these books, provide tools and resources for your goals, and interview people who have found a path to success through their reading. Join us to kick ass at achieving your goals faster and easier than before, one book at a time. Motivate Me Book Club is here to motivate you.
Happy New Year, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful and safe New Year's Eve and have been enjoying these past few days into the new year. 2020 has come to us all, and it's an incredible time when people do feel probably the most hopeful and positive and optimistic about what the future holds, because we get this clean slate, or we apparently perceive it as one when the date changes from one year to the next. And as a decade comes along, we feel even a bigger sense of change. Now, whether or not that's true is really subjective. It's everybody's own perception. So whether or not you feel the same way, you can take it as it is or how you want. For us here at the Motivate Me Book Club, this episode is in fact the last one of season one, and yet it is the first one airing in 2020, so we're going a little against the grain here in that sense. But I don't think that the changing of time really puts any change on how we approach life, because goals, especially ones that are big and elaborate and just outrageous but wonderful in what we want in life, those will take years and years and years to achieve. Those are things that are built upon with every achievement that we make as we go to get to that destination, whatever it may be. So as we move forward, I am looking onward into what else can be done and continue from last year, and take what all those challenges that we came through as great learning experiences and opportunities for more growth. So I wish you all the best for this year and hope you enjoy this last episode of the Motivate Me Book Club for season one. We have built on an array of habits. It has looked like habit formation, habit transformation, habit building, just what kind of habits to have been a running theme through all these books. And for this last one, we are challenging Essentialism by Greg McKeown. Not only is this book another suggestion into what habits you may possess in order to be more successful, but it also is suggesting more deeply a way of living, a state of mind, an identity shift towards being an essentialist. Well, we bring back Alina Taylor to the show to talk about her experiences and also this book. She first came on the show in March to talk about grit. At that time, it was all about the long-term goals, the kind of determination one may possess. And although we've since felt that grit wasn't an easily applied book as some of the other ones, it really did still have a great perspective that Alina pointed out is great to be aware of. Now, with Essentialism, Alina had recommended this to the book club when The One Thing was being read. She had said that when this book was done, Essentialism should be read soon because it just takes it to the next level. Well, that got us all curious and intrigued, and so of course we had to put it up there. Well, to talk about that and reflect on what the best takeaways were and who should really read the book, we sat down with Alina to find out more for Challenge Day of Essentialism by Greg McKeown. Hello again, Alina.
Hi.
How are you?
I think we had tea last time, so this might be
a little upgrade. We're having some rosé, FYI, for those that can't see us. We'll take a photo, so we have
proof. Which is everyone.
I know, because last time we were like, we could film this and like put it on, but I realize it's too much editing to do filming of the podcast recording as well as doing the podcast recording.
You have to wait till you're like Joe Rogan status, and then you can film it.
You get a team.
Because you get someone else.
You just
to
don't
do it
yourself. I mean, I know, and they always...
That's the secret.
Well, it is a secret. You hire people before you can even afford them. So I need to get on that for season two. Mm-hmm. But for the conclusion,
of season one of the Motivate Me Book Club. I have brought you back here on to the show so that we can talk about the final book, which was Essentialism by Greg McKeown, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less. And this was a book that you had said that you enjoyed, and after reading the one thing was like, this is like the next level to it. So I was like, okay, we're putting this on because I listen to you as one of my leaders in life and work. And then, yeah, it was funny because one of our other Lululemons was going to be on here today, but we hope Kelly feels better. She had told me that she was not a fan of this book, and so she was going to be on here to explain why. But it's not that she doesn't like the book, it's just she had a different opinion of it. So I know a little bit of what Kelly was going to say. I do agree with some of the sentiments, but Alina did like this book a lot, and maybe you could tell me like when you read it. When did you first kind of encounter this book?
I think that I read this in 2016.
Okay, yeah. It's, what, almost 4 years ago now that we're almost at, like, I know I'm going to release this in 2020, and it'll be like 4 years ago.
The roaring 20s. No, I want to say it was 2016. Yeah. And what was the other part of your question? What did I like about it?
Yeah, so when you first got into it, like, what did you think about this concept of essentialism?
Well, I remember picking it up because it was like a referral, and I can't remember who referred it or suggested, not a referral, like suggested it to me. And when I picked it up, I loved the initial concept from just like browsing through it, that it could like untangle the chaos of my development or just like kind of create my own path for it. And there's, to achieve success, sometimes you want to take on so many things and be that person that stands for that and takes on so many things. And I had a mentor years ago tell me, because I, at the time, you know, I really needed extra money. Mm-hmm. And I had this job, and the boss I had at the time had offered me a side job to babysit his kids. And my mentor told me, don't do it. And he was like, what do you need? Like, my wife and I will help you out, but don't do that. Like, don't put yourself in that space in your job, because you won't be seen for the work that you can contribute. And so I was like, okay. And I've held that in my memory over years. And so, but you can kind of still do that in certain positions, because you take on more things, or in the sake of growing, or in the sake of pushing and climbing up the ladder faster. And so this book was interesting to me because it was saying, maybe you don't have to do that. You know, don't just spin your wheels to spin your wheels. Like, don't spread yourself thin to be noticed.
Yeah.
Make yourself noticeable for the things that you do. And that's why I was, okay, let me see what this is about. And I'm a wannabe minimalist. I'm not really a minimalist at all. But the idea of having this discipline and almost accelerating where you are in life with less and just simply more momentum and more intention is very attractive to me. And I'm like, okay, I want to do that. So, and I didn't even know really what living an intentioned life was when I read this book, but it's similar.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying with trying to focus and trying to be more on a singular path than trying to do so many things. And were you here in Florida at that time?
I was when in you're Louisiana. Still... Mm-hmm.
And then you moved to Florida at what point?
In June of 2017. Okay. So the next year.
Mm-hmm. And then now, because you were pursuing to be in management at Lululemon.
Yes.
And you've come a long way since then.
I have. It's Yeah. I've been with Lululemon for 4.5 years, and I went through several roles really quickly. Within a year, I was an ASM, and I fell in love with what the company stands for and the culture of the company. And I wanted to see what that would be like to take it to the next level and like manage a store, manage mm-hmm. a region, and is it possible to like manage an area and those things. And so I came to Florida to push my own development and really tap into new learnings, test out a tourism market. There was a big change in the team here, so how to hire and develop a team through change and what that looks like during a peak season, because mm-hmm. that all that happened in June, so yeah. It's kind of crazy. And so that was interesting, and the part in this book that I had mentioned before we were recording is that this book offers you a really great space to say no and to support other people in their development by saying no. So you shouldn't say yes to everything, because maybe you don't even need to. But if you say no, you could set it up for someone else where it could be really beneficial. And that's a huge benefit of this book, for sure.
I agree. Yeah, we were definitely talking about that, because one of the things from all these books is really like the practical application side. What I've been trying to do through the challenge days is uncover what can you take from it, what can you extract from it and apply and try to utilize, and then reflect back on how many ever weeks or months have gone by, so that if it worked for you, you know, then that means there was something good from this book to use. If there wasn't, then maybe it was a great like thought-provoking book, but you move on and you try to find something else that works for you. And that's sort of, I guess, one of the arguments for it, is that unless you're kind of in a space where you're on track to pursue a certain success, you may still be developing your skill sets and needing to do many different things, like have 2 or 3 jobs at a time to mm-hmm. gain a community, a network, you know, a way to tap into different opportunities. But, you know, you being here focused on that, that was probably the right book to read, because it's about saying no to everything else and focusing. But if you do want something that is a practical application, we do agree that this book suggests really great ways to use no. It has the no repertoire, and it gives 8 different options for it. And I think number 8 is Alina's favorite, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can't do it, but X might be interested. And it works in person. It works really great in email.
Yeah, no, and I honestly, like, this is something I've been looking for, is like, how do you say no? And, you know, people suggest that kind of thing, and it's like, you can do it with humor, and you can do it...
You can be kind. And,
yeah.
And supportive of others. It doesn't have to just be like, no.
Yeah, I know, like, blunt and confrontational and just leaving people in the dark. You just don't want to be helpful, because that's there in our nature, but I thought this was, again, also a really great... applicable part to it. And I have to say that I didn't necessarily use it maybe consciously or intentionally over the last few weeks and months since reading it, but it's the thing that's probably stuck with me the most, other than a quote. And that's one thing that I personally liked and have thought mm-hmm. about it, and it's like right here, I had to like bookmark it. If you don't prioritize your life, someone else will. Do you agree with that?
100%.
Yeah, I think that's where you have to take ownership. Mm-hmm. And if you want something, you have to make the effort for it. Otherwise, you aren't going to be getting what you want. So you can't kind of sit there and complain about your life if you aren't prioritizing what is the most important to do what you want in life. So I think his quotes were really great. I know there's a few other ones about the possibility of losing your ability to choose. It's just you forget that you have that choice. Was there anything that when you read this book you were intending to have out of it? Like, did you find you got more of a singular focus or more essentially driven?
I think it gave context to that idea. Maybe I was aware of, but didn't have the the language or the resource to put it together and like put it into speaking existence. Mm-hmm. But I knew kind of it, but not the information. And it also supported use of time management and just the importance of what your time is being used for. And that's a constant theme you see through, what is this? Self-development.
Self-help.
All of it. It's all this.
Inspirational, yeah, motivational.
It's a very common theme for success development, in a sense, or fulfillment, is really what are you using your time for? It's the only resource you're not going to make more of or be able to. You can't buy it. Like, if you decide, oh, I'd like to buy an extra hour today. I mean, they don't sell it on Amazon yet. So, but it's a space for you to think, okay, this is the time I have, and how can I use this time the most intentionally? Mm-hmm. And I would say this book doesn't tell you the best, it's not going to give you like a structure to organize that time, or even, I don't even remember like a suggestion. No. Yeah, there's none of that in there. Mm-hmm. It's just the idea of the time you have now, however it's laid out, how can you be more intentional and focused on it? And really, it's not in this book, but it's that essence of just be where your feet are. Like, be there, have your mental energy and everything there.
No, yeah. I think a book for that, if people wanted a systems, is to like read Tim Ferriss's like 4-hour work week or something, because I think that's more of a structure for it. But to get there, you have to be in the mindset of prioritization, elimination, mm-hmm. and being super focused on one thing and just actually, yeah, cutting out what you don't need. Do you think that's really hard? Do you think, like, if someone, like, because this really suggests that it's a way of life and it's mm-hmm. an identity shift, so you don't just start doing essentialist habits, you become an essentialist, you identify with it. And is that, would you ever go that far? Like, I feel like that's a pretty deep commitment, and I personally feel like it's only essential, like, this, I will only subscribe to this when I have a project or a need to focus. Otherwise I kind of revert back, and I don't know if that's bad. What do you think?
Well, the first thing that comes up for me is it works when you're working it, and that practice can become just your own consistent discipline. Mm-hmm. The shift that will happen is, though, when maybe there is a shift in your own life and that practice doesn't, that you've been doing consistently, doesn't fit anymore, and you have to adapt. And then it's this space of, there may be a buffering time where it doesn't feel essential because you're pulling in other resources, or you're shifting your thoughts, or you're doing a bunch of different things, so it doesn't necessarily feel essential at that time because you're in like a changeover period. And then you almost have to go, like, dig back into the practice and come again. And so I think that can happen. And I want to say, this is just like the snark in me, is once you are truly an essentialist, you probably don't label it.
Right.
Like, it's just...
It just is.
Is.
Right. You know...
And your life is...
Because you're not proving it anymore. You are in it.
Of that. Yeah. Yeah.
No, and that's actually... That puts a lot of perspective on it for me. Because I guess... You know, you have disruption, and once you've established maybe what you think is an equilibrium, you know, that's the test to it. And then you get thrown off, and you're now like, oh my gosh, like, now I'm multitasking again, and I'm doing more things, and I didn't say no, I said yes. And it's like, oh my God, I guess it's just an adjustment, because there's curveballs in life and there's willing changes that you make, but then it means that other things have to come along with it, and maybe a reestablishment mm-hmm. process.
Yeah, and if you are, say it's a, you know, like a career achievement you're working toward, and you're focusing your energy and your intention there, there may be a season where the work you need to do is be a yes man and like be in that just work, and it's going to feel like work, but it's possibly a necessary component to get to the next step.
And I think that's one of the arguments, is that unless you're in a place where you're almost, like, you're pretty certain, maybe, and I think I'm looking at through the lens of business, yes, professionalism,
yeah,
and not just like personal relationships, because I mean, I think you could apply this to your personal life in terms of toxic relationships and having just bona fide, genuine interactions, authentic friendships rather than phony social media ones, you know, and that kind of thing. Or maybe there are ones on social media that are true, but you have your filter for it. So when I look at it in like a professional sense, I think until you've figured out a place that you want to go and you've got that like all in, you know, chips are on the table, you can't say no to everything. You have to say yes to a lot of stuff if you're still climbing where you're going to go, if you're still figuring out what team to be on, or, you know, you have to say yes to opportunities because you don't want to close a door.
Right.
Because saying yes can lead to more possibilities, faster movement, that kind of thing. So that's where I think Kelly's argument specifically was in that business mindset, that saying no, encouraging people to say more no might actually work against them.
I can see that. And I think, so books of this genre speak to certain people, and then, or I guess I should say just like a variety of people, and there may be someone who reads it that does have a deep just disease to please, and this is a tool then, because now they can recognize, I may be not living into my fullest self or offering actually my fullest contribution to what I could be doing because I say yes too much or I spread myself too thin. And that's not a negative thing. That's a really great personal awareness. And also for everyone in your collective, you'll benefit them even more, which is what you want at your heart. So it offers that, and I think that's why I like that section of how to say no. That's the best part of the book, because you can, it's like permission. Okay, here is the permission for you to say no and be fine with it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I'm like just flipping through because I'm just like, was there anything else? Because it is, excuse me.
It's kind of long.
It is long. I mean, that's kind of, once you get into the part where it's like, okay, now be focus. What's important now? There's only now, living essentially. As these ideas become emotionally true, they take on the power to change you. And I think it is getting deep and philosophical in that way of life part when you really think of it. I mean, come on, like, when you do go down that path of yoga and meditation, I've been exploring a lot, and my mom has been helping me. She's like, oh my gosh, have you heard about the vagus nerve and how, you know, stretching and deep breathing are? And I was like, that's pretty much where the chakras come, like, you know, into play. And like, and so I'm going on this Deepak Chopra like deep dive right now. Like, I'm all about his stuff and his scientific application and connection, the mind body. Oh my gosh. So I get there, you know, in these types of self-help motivational books, there's also ways of life and philosophies that stem from it. But I think it gets a little too philosophical for me. Like, I'm kind of like, if you put it in science, it's more tangible.
I think that's what, that is the difference in this book than some of the others that you've read or are shared about, because this is more of a religion, for lack of a better word. It's
a way,
it's a way for you to adopt this lifestyle, and every encounter you have flow through this system and see where it aligns and stuff. And so it is a different, it's on a different wavelength of books than, it's probably not the book you pick up, or like most people are going to pick up January 1st to like attack some goal in
yeah
the new year, because yeah, you'll no. just be so lost.
I think
if it's yeah. like literally the first
you it's not going to give you direction book
you pick up, you'll no. probably be like, I'm never reading another one of these books, these people are so weird.
Yeah, it's already like you know what direction you want to go and you just don't know how to get there. This is a guide for that. But if you're like, I'm lost, it's like, this isn't gonna find you.
Yeah,
it's good, but it's yeah, like I think you have to take from it what you're looking for if you know what you're looking for. Who have you recommended this to? What kind of people should be reading this?
I
now you're like reflecting
the,
on
I
it.
Feel like I'm seeing every person I've ever recommended this book to, and the reason it usually comes up is because they share kind of just in the like an overwhelm, or they're unclear, so many different directions, like there's a lot of different directions they're going, or they're not sure what they want to do, so they're dabbling in a lot of things. And for me, to share it at that point offers them the space and kind of the permission to be like, well, you don't have to know, and also you can just focus on one space and see how that works for you, and then you can change if it doesn't. But
like when people are already going ahead but doing a lot at the same time.
Yeah, and they usually there's this shared feeling that they share of just feeling overwhelmed, or that they're not really moving forward. And I think that is a benefit of this practice, is truly it can allow you to move forward because you're concentrating your efforts.
I like
which
that.
Is why the one thing works.
Yeah. Well, and that's where, like, you said this after the one thing, and I didn't think of it as being like similar. It is very different, the concepts introduced in that one. They do build on like habit formation and that kind of thing, where this doesn't really talk too deeply on that. So I feel like it adds its next level. But yeah, if you wanted to get into it, maybe you read the one thing first and then get into essentialism, because that's like focusing on your one thing and then really like clearing a path for it. Well, so out of 10, what kind of score would you personally give it? You'd recommend it a lot.
I do, yeah. So, I mean, that's probably like an 8.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. And, I mean, it could have helped clear the path for you. I'm like a development junkie,
though, so it's probably like...
Because you're a coach and a leader. And
yeah.
Now the newest store manager on the panel.
Yeah. I know, that's exciting. So fun.
I'm so happy to have you back, because it's been like such a journey for you this year, and... I feel like you probably have had to say no to a lot of things in order to keep pursuing your own personal dreams and goals. And, well, you can take it from someone with experience. It can work for you. You do that, right?
Yeah, it can. And I think that is the ability to do your work and know I can concentrate this time in. You have to trust the process. There's a lot of trust that has to be there for it to work, because this book particular isn't it's not a framework of, hey, do A, B, and C, and then D will happen in 2 weeks. Like, it doesn't work that way. But it does support the philosophy part, and it can just be encouraging, because he shares like personal insights as well, and that helps, because it helps to know that a human wrote the book.
Yes.
I mean, it does, and not someone who's just, you know, I don't know, that you put on a different space. Like when I read this book, I was just like, oh, this is just a guy who shared his practice.
It's Hollywood.
You know? I knew my phone is just blowing up over there.
I'm just like, she's so important, guys. I'm so sorry. Can't even be on mute. No, I'm kidding here. But no, I hear you. And I think like he does humanize the whole experience, so that it does show you that you can do it if you choose that, if you want to go that way. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for all of your insight and input and coming back on. Let's end with a 2020 recommendation. What kind of books do you want to read moving forward?
I just got The Infinite Game by Simon Sinek.
Yeah.
I listened to an interview with him on this book. He was on Impact Theory, I think, was the interview I listened to. And it was one of those moments where I'm listening to the podcast in the car and I'm like, what do I have to write on? And I'm like grabbing a post-it and I'm writing down these five things that he's sharing in the interview. And then I told one of my coaching clients about the book and she got it like the next day and she was like, oh my God, I can't believe. So I wanted the actual book though, because I want to use it as a tool to teach from. Mm. And so I got it for Christmas and I'm really excited. So I'm sure I'll read other books, but that book I will use the entire year.
Oh, that's awesome. It's that good. That's so good. Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm really excited for that because we're going to be moving from this habit development and kind of like transformation theme that developed on its own to business oriented books. And so if it has anything on actual business tactics and how to interact, communicate, that kind of stuff, that's what we're hoping to focus on a little bit more. So, and as a thank you for coming on the show today, I want to give you another book.
Oh, how fun. To read. Yay.
Because Jen Sincero is a badass, as we all know, and she has written her series. This is how to be a badass at making money and empowering women to really have bigger discussions. So I'm hoping that a lot of female listeners will be up for this one, because I would love to hear people's contributions and see where they're at in their own, because here I've met so many entrepreneurial women and leaders and influencers, and I'm just in awe and inspired, and I'm motivated to keep helping, you know, grow that around me and anyone else that listens. So I wanted to give you a little
thank you
for everything that you've done and coming on the show twice. So cool. Yeah, I'll check in later on that one too.
Yeah, exciting. Thanks, Jen.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Alina. And congrats again on your new opportunities. Yay. And future endeavors.
Exciting.
This has been the Motivate Me Book Club, presented by Pineapple Jen. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Click the subscribe button to get the latest episode as it lands. Leave a rating, review, or comment to help us out, and share with friends the podcast, the book club, or even parts of the books that helped you. Motivate Me Book Club is here to motivate you.